I want you to turn to James chapter 1, and I'm going to give you three simple truths this morning that I hope you'll remember. Because I believe if you practice these three truths, you'll have peace in the midst of the storm. I've been trying to practice these three truths as I seek to have peace in the midst of the storm. I've practiced these in the past as I've had other storms, none like this, and the Lord's strengthening my faith. And he giveth more grace. But I believe the principles are found here that we need to practice. I need to practice, you need to practice, we all need to practice if we want to have peace in the midst of the storm. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, okay, friends, how many of us lack wisdom? Yep, all of us. As we lack wisdom, let's ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Father, I am so thankful you're the God of the universe. I'm thankful that you do all things well, and whatever you ordain is always good. We don't always understand. I know I don't understand. But we can always trust. We can always believe. We can always rest in you. And I know we have our challenges right now, but I know there's many others in this auditorium that have their challenges as well. And Lord, we need you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give comfort and encouragement and direction to our family. But I pray, Lord, that you'll give comfort and encouragement and direction to all of my friends that are gathered here this morning. Teach us from your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The first truth comes from verse 2. A verse that many of you, I'm sure, have memorized, and I hope that you've tried to practice. It says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. When situations of life that come that are challenging, the trials of life when they come, what does he say? That we should get sorrowful, we should get depressed, we should get down in the dumps? No, he says, count it all joy. So principle number one is this. Rejoice in the providence of God. I'm not asking you to rejoice in the trial. I'm not asking you to rejoice in the problem, the frustration, the difficulty. But I'm asking you to remember who God is. And to remember what we sang today. What God ordains is always good. God is in control. And so we can rejoice in the providence of God. What God has allowed, what God has ordained is good. And we can rejoice in it. Go back to 1 Peter. I thought it's, again, interesting that you were meditating on 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, because I'm going to read right up to verse 8 as we look at this principle of rejoicing in the providence of God. I'll start reading in verse 3 of chapter 1 and go through verse 7. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's all because of Jesus. Hallelujah for what Jesus Christ has done. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm saved. What about you? I'm rejoicing in it. What about you? No matter what happens in this life, heaven is my home. And praise the Lord, I have that settled. And listen, friend, if you're here today and you don't have it settled, you can. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ will be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You handled that situation. You dealt with it properly. You didn't let it defeat you. Rejoice that God counts you worthy to deal with the situations of life in a Christ-like spirit. Go back to, if you would, chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." How many of you in this room have ever been through a trial? May I see your hands? Look around. Join the club. We're all sinners. This world's been cursed by sin. In this world, there's going to be tribulation. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm learning more about cancer than I've ever learned before. And I've learned how many people have had to deal even with the sickness of cancer. How many of you, have somebody in your family, you had to deal with cancer? Look at that. We're not going through something that others haven't gone through. We're not going through a situation that is impossible for God. He says, don't think it's strange, but rejoice, verse 13. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, remember the Beatitudes, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. What's the next word? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. We've all been through that too, where people call us names, a holy roller, you religious nut, you know, you churchgoer, Bible thumper, whatever you want to be. But, you know, you have those family members, you have those work associates. I've had those family members in situations. Rejoice! You know, rejoice! Because he says, for the spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. When we handle situations right, we bring glory to our Heavenly Father and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And after all, that's what we're here for. Rejoice. No matter whether the situation is good or bad. As a matter of fact, I think most of you have probably memorized Philippians 4:4. Can you say it with me? Rejoice in the Lord. And again, reminder, I say, rejoice. So my challenge is rejoice even in trials. 1 Peter talks about trials. 1 Peter talks about persecutions. And we're to rejoice even in trials that come our way. It's easy for us to rejoice in the positive things of life as we see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, as we see God answering our prayers, as we have the opportunity to watch our children raising our grandchildren for the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other grandparents here? Isn't it neat when we see our children raising our grandchildren? And by the way, paying to raise them for the Lord. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of benefits in all this. We see our children living for the Lord and raising our grandchildren. As I talk a lot about the family and as I have opportunity to do family conferences, marriage conferences, I remind parents all the time, and I see many of you here, you're raising the parents of your grandchildren. Don't forget that. Somebody made that statement, I heard, and I thought, whoa. You know, and I thank God for what he has done. And we can rejoice in those things, but this morning, as we deal with the trials of life, rejoice even in trials. How can we do that? Well, Romans 8:28 makes it plain. All things are working together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. All things are working together for good. And we can't always see the good. We can't always understand. But God knows. I just saw Matt communicating, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, a passage of scripture that I know is one good thing that comes through trials. Go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I'm not a Facebooker. My wife is. But I try to check out my son's pages once in a while. No, I'm not trying to check up and make sure they're not watching anything or doing something they shouldn't. No, I think I'm through all that. I mean, they're responsible, but I'd love to see what they're communicating. And of course, through this trial, it's been wonderful to see the ministry that God has given Matt and Julie to communicate with people all around the world through Facebook. And this passage of Scripture is one of the good things that can come through any situation you go through. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And boy, I'll tell you, you really find out about the comfort of God when you're going through trials. And other people can't really understand how you're dealing with it, but you can understand when God gives you peace in the midst of the storm. But notice why. One of the reasons it might be, one of the good things that could be happening in whatever situation you're facing, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, as a former pastor, and as I'm traveling and speaking different places and being in different churches, it's amazing how much comfort and encouragement I can give to some pastors when they're talking about situations in their churches. Yeah, I've been through that. Yeah, I've been through that. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Here's what God did in our situation. Here's a passage of Scripture that God helped me get through that. And no matter what the situation of life that you're going through, you're going to have an extended ministry to others that face the same thing. Matt and Julie just recently went on a trip provided by an organization that sends cancer patients away with their family to have build memories and have a wonderful time. And I'm telling you, what a great opportunity Matt and Julie and their family had to minister to some others without Jesus Christ. They wouldn't have had that opportunity. Oh, yeah, they had a great time at Disney World and SeaWorld and all these other things. But I'm telling you, the greatest joy in life is ministering to others. And Matt now has a ministry to even the head of that organization. I thought, hallelujah, Lord. What an opportunity that they have. And God gives us those opportunities. And sometimes we don't see the good, even in this life. We don't understand exactly why God is putting us through that. That's not our question. We should be asking, what do you want me to learn through this, Lord? How do you want me to serve in a greater way because of this? And you can do that when you're rejoicing in the providence of God. You know God is in control. One great illustration was given to us in Scripture, wasn't it, in Genesis? I just gave you chapter 50 and verse 20 because the final statement was, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Who's that? Who? Joseph. Man, you talk about trouble. I mean, he didn't have a good family situation. Now, you think he did because he was the favorite, but it seems like the others didn't like that when he was kind of the favorite. Kind of reminds me of, you know, in the New Testament, when they were asking one on the right hand and one on the left, the other disciples weren't real thrilled about that. You know, it created some struggle about that. The favoritism isn't always a blessing. And next thing you know, he's sold into slavery. And of course, then he's accused, falsely accused. Then he's put in prison. And then the person that he was supposed to remember him didn't remember. And we could go on and on and on about Joseph. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. He was working all things together for good so that Joseph could save his people Israel. And God knew what he was doing, even though others didn't maybe quite understand. And I sometimes don't quite understand. God does, and he's in control, and he's working it all together for good. And it may seem sometimes like it's even evil, but God can make it all work out right. Modern day illustration is Ron Hamilton. How many of you know Brother Hamilton? We're the same age, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. I know I look a lot younger than him, and so I understand why you might be confused about that. But we are, and good friends. And you remember when they said to him when he went into the hospital, you got a speck in your eye, and if it's just some sort of infection, when you wake up, you'll have a sore eye. But if it happens to be cancer, you're going to wake up without an eye. And what happened? He woke up without an eye. Terrible situation, of course, as the eye socket was healing. They had a patch over it because they do that before they put in a false eye. And he's at church, and boys and girls are coming up. Whoa, looking at Brother Ron and said, are you a pirate? And of course, if you know Brother Hamilton, he's a goof-off. Of course, to do those patches of pirate things, you've got to be a goof-off. You know, I thought I was finished with it with my children. Then all of a sudden, I had grandchildren that even listened to patch. Oh, you know, now they're starting to grow out of it too, so hallelujah. I mean, some of these. Even though, hey, great principles, wonderful truths, I thank the Lord. But, and he said, well, I think maybe I am. As a matter of fact, I'm Patch the Pirate. And what has happened all around the world? I go on the mission field, and hear about Patch the Pirate. Because God had a plan. And God has a plan for all of our lives. I love the hymn 475 in your hymnal, right? You know, God never moves without purpose or plan when molding his servant and making his man. Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. They may seem like mistakes to us, but if we love God, we're called according to his purpose. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And we can rejoice in the providence of God. Would you say that with me? Rejoice in the providence of God. When you're going through the trials of life, when you're going through the storms of life, the first thing I challenge you with this morning is rejoice in the providence of God. Remember that God is still God. He saved us and given us a life eternal. And he will take care of us through the storms of life. Go back to James, because I want you to see the second thought that comes to us in this passage of Scripture, chapter 1. And now we're going to be looking at verses 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Second thing I want you to remember. I want you to remember the purpose of God. Now, we said there may be specific purposes, specific plans, even as Joseph's life, or Ron Hamilton's life, my life, your life. But God has a general purpose for all his Christians, all those that he has saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember 2 Timothy 3? 2 Timothy 3, that from a child thou hast known the scriptures that will make thee wise unto salvation. And praise the Lord, moms and dads, teach your children the scriptures so they'll come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that's not the end. That's only the beginning. Salvation is just the beginning of the new life in Christ. Because in verse 16, most of you know it. Can you say it with me? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? May I challenge you to memorize verse 17 as well? That the man of God may be perfect. Same word. Complete, mature. That the man of God may be perfect. He wants us to be perfect. Perfect. You say, okay, what is perfect? Would you turn back to Ephesians chapter 4? Aren't you glad that the Bible explains itself? Boy, when you're struggling with a passage of Scripture, let the Bible interpret the Bible. Don't let some of the TV preachers do it. Don't let some of the radio preachers do it. Don't even let me do it or somebody else that would not deal with the scriptures properly and put their ideas in there instead of the scriptural idea. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of false prophets out there today. And your responsibility and my responsibility is to check it out according to the Word of God. And thank the Lord, in Ephesians chapter 4, he defines perfect. He gives us the definition. He says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And if you read verse 11, the leadership of the church is given to, the leadership of the body of Christ is given to perfect the saints, so the saints do the work of the ministry. It's, in other words, the pastors are equipping you so that you'll go out and do the work of the ministry. By the way, thank you for your prayer about evangelism. Folks, we need to be evangelistic. But it's not just the pastor's job to witness. Do you know who else's job it is to witness? All Christians. The pastors simply are equipping you and motivating you to do it. And may I tell you, people are waiting to hear. And we're timid because of one person that made a comment. One person that took a track and folded up and put it down. Listen, they crucified Jesus Christ. They rejected Jesus Christ. He said, they hated me, they'll hate you. Don't let it stop you from being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. As a businessman for 7 years, I had greater opportunities to witness than I did as a pastor. People expect we pastors to witness. They expect us to give out tracts. They expect us to invite people to church. But when you do it, whoa, man, they're really radical. I think they really believe this stuff. Yes, we do. And they need to believe it too, because without Jesus Christ, they're lost. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not eternal life. And so we're perfecting the saints to do the work of the ministry till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a, there it is again, perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Pastor Stikes, Carl Herbster, or put anybody in there you want. No. Who? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Perfect is being like Christ. Because he is the only perfect one that ever walked the face of the earth. By the way, tempted and all wise, even as we are. Yet without sin. Temptation is not sin. Giving in to temptation is sin. And we can be overcomers because Jesus Christ was an overcomer. And Jesus Christ is my Savior. And he's the one that has set the example for me. So, he wants us all to be perfect. That's his goal. That's his purpose. And Jesus Christ is the perfect one, so that means we're to be like Christ. And turn over to Romans 8:29 now, because you all memorize verse 28 very well. But notice what it says in verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. To get it all together in context, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Every believer who he knew would be saved, everyone that comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, he says, my predetermined goal for every believer, not just the preachers, not just the Sunday school teachers, not just those going through trials, everybody, is that they might be the conform to the image of his Son. God's goal for all believers is that they would be Christ-like. Christ-like. That time I was going through all the trouble and difficulty in Kansas City, 203, oh me, in 03. And as the Lord was helping me through that time, and as I was seeking to be a encouragement to others through that time, and I remember saying to my wife, and by the way, our wives take things harder a lot of times than we do, and we need to be an encouragement to them, men, and love them as Christ loved the church. But to other people who would say, man, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe. And I said, well, they haven't crucified me yet. Now, some of them wanted to, by the way. I'm sure if they would have had the chance, I probably would have been strung up at least. I mean, you know, you probably never have that kind of thing in this church, but, you know, the sweet spirit you have. But we had a little bit of that. The devil got in a little bit. But I would remind myself, I have it far better than Jesus Christ. You know, reviled, he got even. No, reviled, he reviled not again. You see, my friends, God's trying to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. And for that to happen, don't we have to take some difficulty sometimes? You know, why does the clay say to the potter who is putting the squeeze on, why have you made me this way? What are you doing? No. We're the clay. He's the potter. Let him have his way. He's got a plan. He's working it all together for good. You know, sometimes he has to chip away at us, doesn't he? Just like you have to chip away to get a fine diamond. That's very valuable. He's chipping away so we can be more valuable in his service, in the ministry that he has for us here on the face of the earth. So he wants us to be perfect. Perfect is Christ. God wants all Christians to be Christ-like. Verse 5, James chapter 1. The last thought I want you to have this morning. What was the first one? What was the second one? remember the purpose of God, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. That's always happening in the process. And sometimes when we don't respond in a Christ-like manner, he has to bring something along. He says, I'll give you another chance. You know, let's retake. Oh man, how many times I've had to retake sometimes. Third, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And he'll consider whether he'll give it to you. He'll evaluate your situation and see how good you've been recently. He's a big heavenly Santa Claus. Wrong! What does he say? What does he say? This is God's word. What does he say? He'll do it. He'll give it to you. One of the prayers I have every day is for wisdom. Wisdom and strength. God, give me wisdom. Give me some. I'm telling you right now, as we think about the future, try to figure out what God wants. Lord, give wisdom. Give strength to deal with whatever situation comes along. Wisdom and strength. And he'll give it. Number one was to rejoice in the providence of God. Number two was to remember the purpose of God. Number three, and I can't emphasize this enough, rely on the promises of God. Rely on the promises of God. God has a whole book of promises that I'm telling you, we need to claim. You think about that, because in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to share with me some promises of God, okay? I want to, because there's so many. I just wrote down three. Now, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know why? Because he's in me. The Holy Spirit is there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll panic! We do, don't we? I do. No, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We can rely on the God who walks with us, walks beside us, walks in us. Rely on that promise. I love the Psalms. Boy, if you're really going through it, just live in the Psalms. I remember Psalm 27, Lord's my light and my salvation. And that last verse 13 and 14, I would have fainted except to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen thy heart. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint, Isaiah tells us. I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of promises in the Bible. And we need to claim them. We need to hang on to them. Remember, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. And man, we're tempted all the time. Tempted to doubt, tempted to fear, tempted not to trust. I'm telling you, when you're going through a trial, temptation is all around you. But God is faithful. You can count on the faithfulness of God. I wish you could count on my faithfulness. But I don't have to wonder about his. He is faithful. My wife's favorite song, great is thy faithfulness. And we can rest in that. We can have confidence in that. And, you know, I believe that we can understand that God will give us direction. God will give us wisdom. God will give us help. Philippians 4. Of course, the whole book of Philippians is full of promises. You could just go bing, 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 bing on the promises. But I can do all things through Christ. I can handle this situation. Whatever it is. Not because of me. I can't. but because of Him, I can. Another great psalm that I've claimed that Brother Hamilton has written is, Lord, I need You. When the sea of life is calm, Lord, I need You. When the winds are blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees, for Lord, I need You. That first verse, oft times when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from You and soon forget to pray. Have you ever been there? Seems like I'm there too often. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words You long to hear. Lord, I need You. Sometimes He just has to get our attention, doesn't He? And get us back in that place of surrender. Total surrender. That, Lord, I need You. And remember, ask and shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. A promise from our Lord. And my friends, if you're here without Jesus Christ, remember the promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world, say it with me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might get saved. No, promise shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. God can do anything. God can handle anything. Do you have some favorite promises that you'd like to share? I gave you a little warning. So, any promises you'd like to share? Some, I mean, I've shared a bunch, I know, but there's a lot more in Scripture. Does anybody else want to share one? Yes, sir.
John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Yeah. In my Father's house are many mansions.
If I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And by the way, I believe it's soon. When you look on the world stage, I believe it's very soon. Be ready for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another one.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and not your understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct
thy path. Boy, I'm praying that one. As we head through life, in these later years of life, boy, that's a wonderful one to claim. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Somebody else. It won't take long, but yes, sir.
Pray for children the way they should go when they grow older.
Praise the Lord. And I thank God for what He has done. And by the way, if any of our children turn out, it's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. And I thank the Lord constantly about what's happening in our family. And I know that it's still devil's still working, trying to destroy. And we have to keep praying. What else? Anybody else?
The Lord is on my side. Whom shall I fear?
Amen. If God be for us, who can be against? And we could go on and on and on, could we not? That's why I say you should memorize Scripture. Hide God's Word in your heart so you won't sin against it. It's a promise, by the way, but it's a promise who we have to apply. That's why you memorize Scripture. Jesus Christ, when He was tempted in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, every time He was tempted, what did He do? Quoted Scripture. Quoted Scripture. Quoted Scripture. It is written, it is written, it is written. Taking the sword of the Spirit, the offensive weapon that we have, which is the Word of God, and hide it in your heart so that you can handle the situations of life, the trials of life, so that you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Oh, I know, yeah, everybody's got their Bibles on their iPhones now, so I mean, you can get, you know, but it's not the same thing as having it in your heart and taking it with you wherever you go. So in your mind, when something happens, Scripture comes to your mind. Scripture floods your mind. Scripture floods your mind so that you can stand. And having done all to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, my friends, rely on the Word of God. Rely on the promises of God. I'm telling you, Matt got us all started. Because we got the call last week of May, and it was graduation week for me in Kansas City, and Mom took off with Mark and his family and headed down to the wilds, and I wanted to go, but I had to finish up graduation, but got the call that they'd found out it was cancer, and she's going to have surgery and remove the tumors, not knowing how severe it was at that time, finding out later in the lymph nodes and in the liver, and very severe. Drove down after graduation, came down and be with Matt and the family, and it was time for them to have staff training. And Matt had a lot of responsibilities in staff training. By the way, the Wilds has been wonderful too. You folks have been wonderful. The Wilds, it's wonderful to see the body of Christ work. That's one of the great things for me through all that. I just watched the body of Christ work. And oh, that's what God wants, the body of Christ to work. When one hurts, everybody hurts. And, you know, everybody comes around and encourages. But I remember when Matt decided, I think the surgery was on Saturday, and he decided that he wanted to speak to the entire staff on Monday. Brother Ken said, "You don't need to do that. You know, we'll cover it." And Matt says, "No, I think I really need to. God's really burdened my heart to do it." And after he preached, I understood. Because he preached out of Psalm 34. Would you turn to Psalm 34? And maybe he's even come here and preached this message. I don't know. But I'll tell you, I needed it. Because I was hurt. I think there was a lot of people on the campsite that needed it. And I've even had young people, when they came home after camp, we always had our young people that had been working in camp give testimonies. We had young people give testimonies of how this gave peace in the midst of the storm. Scripture, how it gave comfort, knowing that God was comforting Matt and Julie and giving them encouragement in the midst of the difficulty. Psalm 34 and verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is..." Promise, he's good. He's always good. That's his nature, to be good. There's no darkness in him at all. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." I wrote in my Bible, Matt, May 28th, 2012. There was a holy hush that came over that place because Matt said, "Listen, God is always good." 2-point message. I've always taught him 3 points, but he only did 2. I just want you to know. And it worked. He said, "God is always good." And he talked about that a little bit, and the goodness of his life, goodness of his family, and goodness of his God, and gave God glory. And he said, "We can trust him at all times. No matter what the situation of life, we can trust him at all times." And I remember him saying, "It's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to live it." He said, "Pray that I'll be able to live it." I've been praying that prayer ever since. Not just for him, but for me. Maybe you need to pray it for you. Because we all go through trials. In this world, there's going to be tribulation. But my friend, be of good cheer. He has overcome the world, and guess what? So can we. Not in our strength, but in his strength. Because as the Lord told the Apostle Paul, he's telling us, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And as I've tried to practice what I preached, rejoice in the providence of God, remember the purpose of God, and rely on the promises of God. God has given a peace that passeth all understanding. And guess what? He promises to do that. Because he wants to give us peace in the midst of a storm. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the storms of life that allow you to prove once and again to us of your goodness and of your grace. Lord, we don't always understand what you're doing, but we know that you're doing all things well. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to guide Matt and Julie. Help them to trust you at all times. Help all of us to do that. realizing, God, that you're working all things together for good. And Father, I'm so thankful for this church and for their ministry to our family, their ministry one to another. And Lord, would you today meet needs and hearts and lives? I don't know all the specifics of what's going on in the lives of people here, but I know that folks are in trials, coming out of trials, or going into trials, and we all need you, Lord. And I pray that today you'll meet the need of every heart, and you'll give comfort and encouragement in whatever situation my friends are facing. I pray, Lord, you'll give them peace in the midst of this storm of life, and that you'll use them in a greater way as they respond to the trial with a Christ-like spirit, that you'll give them an expanded ministry to others. Thank you for this church, for the way they've ministered to our family. Might they always have that spirit. Might they always have that care as they give of themselves one to another, all for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.